busy day. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The president will tell Congress tonight his plans to get us out of this recession. In about 10 minutes, Fed Chair Ben Bernanke will talk to the Senate Banking Committee about the economy. One question facing both men is what kind of support will come for banks like Citigroup that can't handle the bad debt on their books. But the fallout today doesn't stop with big banks. Worry is growing this morning that insurance giant AIG will need more help. Edward Haddas with online financial commentary service Breaking Views is with us. Edward, why is AIG entering the fray again?
AIG is going to report, it is rumored, a $60 billion loss. To make up for that loss, they need the money from somewhere, and the somewhere they're likely to turn is the U.S. government.
Okay, but what happened to the $150 billion AIG has already received from the government?
Well, that's being used to support other assets on the AIG balance sheet, and that money is not free for them to use for other things. As losses mount, they need more money to make up the difference.
And how could they restructure what they do have?
Well, they've been trying. They're under new management, and they've been trying to cut down their balance sheet. But in fact, in a weakening economy, anyone who's in the lending business or indeed in the holding business tends to find their portfolio is worth less. If you're a bank or an insurance company, that's very, very painful.
It would be safe to characterize it as they're still drowning in these toxic assets.
It sure looks that way. Eventually, you reach bottom, and I'm not sure if drowning is the right image. You start to rise up again. Not necessarily there yet.
And will they rise?
Certainly not in any form that was recognizable, but the U.S. economy will certainly rise. The world economy will certainly rise at some point.
So what you're saying is the government will likely give AIG more money, but these are sunk costs.
Yes, that's right. And it should be remembered, though, that you give AIG money because that's the lesser evil. If you didn't give them money, it could cause more disruption of financial markets, more disruption of economic activity, a worse recession. So the judgment is that this is while it's going to cost the taxpayers some money, the taxpayers would be much worse off if AIG were allowed to fail.
And I guess that goes back to Lehman Brothers.
That's right. When Lehman Brothers failed, there was an immediate sharp decline in global trade, an immediate sharp decline in asset prices, and we're still seeing the effects of that in terms of economic activity. So that's not an experiment we want to repeat a second time.
Edward Haddas is assistant editor with the online financial commentary service Breaking Views. Thanks so much, Edward.
Thanks.
Earnings reports this morning include Macy's with a 59% drop for the fourth quarter. The Target dog is barking about another quarterly loss, too. Home Depot's drop wasn't as bad as expected. Wall Street is rebounding a bit after closing at 12-year lows yesterday. The Dow is up 0.4%, 28 points to 71.43. The NASDAQ is up 0.8% right now. The S&P 500 up just over 0.5%. The latest report on home prices is also out this morning. It shows prices fell by the sharpest annual rate on record in the fourth quarter. One fix being tossed around for the housing crisis is something called cram downs. It's the subject of the latest Marketplace whiteboard video right here at marketplace.org. Senior editor Patty Hirsch brings financial terms to life with a dry erase marker, and he'll be here Friday morning to answer your questions. Send your question for Patty to letters@marketplace.org by Thursday. Listening to the Morning Report for Tuesday, February 24th at marketplace.org. J.P. Morgan Chase, the nation's second-largest bank, slashed its dividend. The move comes as quite a surprise because J.P. is one of the healthiest U.S. banks. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has that.
Back in January, J.P. Morgan said it was comfortable with its 38-cent a share payout. But then things went downhill. Bank stocks have been hammered, and competitors Bank of America and Citigroup both slashed their dividends to a penny. Now JP Morgan's payment is down to a lowly nickel. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon called the move a precaution. The bank hasn't posted a quarterly loss during this financial crisis. By slashing its dividends, J.P. Morgan will save $5 billion a year. CEO Dimon says the money will be a buffer against economic calamity, and it will allow J.P. Morgan to pay off its $25 billion bailout loan faster. Experts say J.P. Morgan has just written a script that other banks can follow. Wells Fargo, the fourth biggest bank, is now expected to cut its dividends as well. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
At the White House today, President Obama hosts his first foreign leader. It's the Prime Minister of Japan. That country and ours are the two biggest economies in the world, but both are hemorrhaging and looking for ways to dig out of this crisis. From Shanghai Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Prime Minister Taro Aso comes bearing checks. $500 million for Afghanistan's reconstruction, $100 billion for the IMF, and new aid for Pakistan to be announced today. Japan has stored up a big rainy day fund. Historically, its people are good savers. But now, Washington wants the Japanese to spend more, so the world's producers have someone to sell to. Macquarie Securities' Bill Belshear says American consumers used to carry the load. Now the Asians have to pick up some slack.
I think the timing is right that Asia is becoming rich enough, it's young enough, its people want lots of things that people all over the world aspire to. Better homes, better education, better food.
Boosting consumption takes time, which Aso has none of. An 11% approval rating back home makes him the lamest of ducks. So whatever Aso promises in D.C., his successor will have to carry out. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Today is Mardi Gras, and that means it's carnival time in New Orleans. Tourism has been a bright spot in the local economy since Hurricane Katrina. But as Kate Archer Kent reports, the recession has slowed the city's recovery.
New Orleans hotels were almost full in the run-up to Fat Tuesday. Mary Beth Romig is spokesperson for the New Orleans Convention and Visitors Bureau. She says the city stands to make up to $5 billion of hospitality revenue this year.
We are looking at a city that's pretty recession-proof as far as tourism is concerned. There is no price of admission to Mardi Gras, and I think people are seeing that they can come and they can have a great time.
Still, the credit crunch is squeezing the city. M. Tamichi St. Julian heads up the Finance Authority of New Orleans. He says homeowners are struggling to get loans to rebuild, and payouts from the state aren't stretching as far.
We have many, many people who received funds that are finding, because of the higher costs of construction, are insufficient to complete the renovation on their houses.
But St. Julian says all the belt tightening can't stop the Big Easy from doing what comes naturally, letting loose. I'm Kate Archer Kent for Marketplace.
Stores, restaurants, and other services in New York City just aren't doing the business they used to. It's reminding some of a decade they'd just as soon forget. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has that story.
At a recent conference of city leaders, Mayor Michael Bloomberg acknowledged the city's current woes, but he tried to put them in the context of New York's troubled past.
It has been burned to the ground. It has been ravaged by cholera and yellow fever. It has been devastated by financial collapse time and time again, and it was even forced to watch the Knicks last year.
But just minutes later, an army of protesters representing lower income and immigrant groups halted the mayor's speech.
Show me what democracy looks like!
This is what democracy looks like!
The scene crystallized the sentiment in the room, fear of a return to New York's lost decade. The year was 1975. The nation was in the midst of a recession, and New York City was an embarrassment, says historian Vincent Canato at the University of Massachusetts, Boston.
Subway trains, parks, bridges, buildings are just filled with graffiti.
Crime was rampant, and residents were fleeing to the suburbs, starving city coffers of needed tax revenue. City leaders begged President Gerald Ford for a bailout. The president pushed back, saying if the city can scare the country now,
why shouldn't they be confident they can scare us again?
In the end, the president gave Gotham some relief, but it took years for New York to get back on its feet. Today, the city is facing a massive budget deficit, rising crime, and the mayor faces the choice of cutting services or raising taxes and driving residents away.
Yes, there are more stores going out of business. We are going through an economic downturn, but we're going through a downturn from a much higher base than we ever had before.
Indeed, historian Vincent Cannato says a repeat of the 70s is unlikely.
I think that there's a chance that the city might be able to weather this because what had gone on for the last 15 years was a strengthening of a lot of aspects of city life, what you didn't have in the 60s and early 1970s.
And Cannato says New Yorkers are more committed to the city today, so it would take a heck of a tax hike to drive them out. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
During the Depression, burlesque shows were popular because they were cheaper than Broadway. The most popular burlesque show was Minsky's, a new musical in L.A., tells the story of Minsky's. George Wendt stars in that show, and you might remember him as Norm on Cheers. Our online host, Scott Jagow, sat down with Wendt to discuss how bad times can be a source of artistic inspiration.
So what's the basic story of this musical? This is set during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
How is that woven into the story?
Well, it's hard times for Billy Minsky, and it's hard times for the community. And he feels like when he's ready to shut down his right-hand character, she rallies him and rallies the troops with notions that people need a laugh. People need to relax, have a good time in the face of misery and depression.
Well, yeah, for example, there's a song called You Gotta Get Up When You're Down.
Yeah, that's the one.
I think that goes, people need something to make their troubles disappear.
In the middle of pain and misery, I tune on a fiddle to chase your frown. The going is rough, but remember, you gotta get up when you're down.
So there's an element of escapism. Are you sensing that on stage or with the audience?
You know, it's just a comedy, a romantic comedy that works. But it's curious, you know, entertainment used to be considered a recession-proof industry because of this very notion that people need to forget their troubles. But in this world of deregulation and vertical integration of all the massive Time Warners and General Electrics and things, they used to sort of scoff at labor issues, say potential actor strikes and stuff, by saying, we've got, you know, widgets in Pennsylvania. We don't care about this little blip on our big, vast portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, show business is still doing fine, but it's being dragged down by all the other entities that these mega corporations are tanking with.
I'll tell you, one thing that I always think of when I get down or when times are tough, I always think of one of Norm Peterson's sayings from Cheers. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Yeah. Yep, that's a truism.
More with Scott and George at Marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.